Scott Tittle is cuddling with his 2-year-old adopted son on the couch. Scott's wife, Donna, sits down next to them and holds up a red and blue light-up toy. She presses the buttons and music plays. The toddler's face erupts in a smile, listening. Scott and Donna took their son home as a foster baby when he was just a few weeks old. It's not exactly what they thought they'd be doing at this stage in life.
I mean, we're 48 years old. We're close to 50. You know, most of the people I work with are thinking about retirement and empty nest and traveling.
Their toddler is doing well now, but he has had some health issues and developmental delays because of opioids he was exposed to before he was born.
It's hard to forget what's happened to him and what didn't need to happen to him.
Initially, they didn't think they were ready to foster a child with a disability, but Donna says they quickly grew attached.
I could not give him away. There was just no way. He was a part of this family, and no matter what obstacles come through our way, he's ours.
But they needed to learn how best to take care of a baby with neonatal abstinence syndrome, or the physical effects babies experience during withdrawal from drugs. In their training to become foster parents, the Tittles say they didn't get any preparation for how to take care of a baby with NAS. Another foster mom, Kelly Crow, recalls a similar experience taking care of a baby girl with NAS. She remembers a lot of intense crying, which was scary. But ultimately, what the baby needed was pretty simple, around-the-clock cuddling.
The best thing that you can give them is, like, all the love that you have. So that means, like, physically, you know, all the touch that you can, all the soft voices that you can.
5 out of every 100 babies born in West Virginia have NAS. That's about 5 times the national rate. Many of these babies are put into foster care. Parents don't typically get any additional financial support unless the child's symptoms are severe or long-lasting. Marissa Sanders runs an advocacy group for foster families in West Virginia. She says those who need the most support are people who've taken in a grandchild or a neighbor, so-called kinship parents, representing about half of all foster homes.
Those people often don't get any training. They don't have the same level of support and, you know, background information and access to workers that a certified foster parent has.
Sanders wants the state to do more to help these grandparents learn how to cope with difficult behaviors.
When you're parenting a child who has experienced significant trauma, who is away from their birth family, who's, you know, in a difficult situation, there's a whole lot of extra support needed.
The state is trying to reduce the number of kids in foster care and save money. Jeremiah Samples is with the West Virginia Department of Health and Human Resources. He says the state needs to help more birth parents by connecting them with mental health care or parenting skills training. There are new funds available from the federal government to help. It's part of a new focus on keeping families together.
Once CPS goes out and a child has to be removed because of abuse and neglect, a trauma has already occurred. And so we need to prevent that to the extent that we possibly can.
Fewer kids having to face the trauma of being uprooted from their parents, their schools, and their communities is clearly a win for all, especially children. If, and this is a big if, the state and the federal government can find an effective way to help parents make changes in their lives so the kids are safe. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Roxy Todd in Charleston, West Virginia.